questions, just because I was at, Pastor had asked me to kind of share my testimony, but I want to know about you guys too. How many of you, basically you grew up in church, you don't remember not being in church. It's... I think that's Matthew's wrist up there. Okay, how many of you, you do remember, like elementary school, you remember... You were little, but you do remember you guys coming to church, family joining church, whose hand is it? Wait, Emma, didn't you, like, weren't you, like, in the womb coming to church? Yes, okay. Well, you do remember as that. What I'm trying to differentiate is those who, you know, you're here because you grew up in church versus, you know, you haven't been here very long. I remember when I started going to church. I was 11 years old when we started going to church. How many of you, it was kind of that later in life? Real old 11-year-olds. High school. Yes? Yes, Ruth? But the rest of you, basically, many, many years in church. Yes? It's very cold in this room, and it was a sauna in the other room. Oh, boy. This is Hamilton's piano. I'm a little bit, you know, in Up. You know how the dog squirrel?
Yeah.
That's just kind of the theme of my life, so bear with me. But, I'll share a little bit about my testimony, and then, just something that I'd like to challenge y'all with. So, my mom is Korean. My dad was in the army, and he met my mom in Korea. Let's pray first. Dear Lord, I thank you for this conference. I thank you for these group of lovely ladies that I get to look at. I ask, Father, that you would please help my words to be encouragement, be a challenge to all of us in here. I ask, Father, that you would please be with our hearts, help us to be open and receptive to each session, to each speaker that speaks to all of us. Lord, I thank you that Mr. Hamilton's feeling better. I ask that you please would keep us awake. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So my dad was in the army. He was stationed in Korea. I met my mom and got married and had me. And then when I was five, thereabouts, my mom and dad divorced. Now, my dad got custody of me, which is kind of not normal. Usually the moms get custody of the kids. But my dad him being in the military, he had I get to go to school, all medical stuff. And then also, my dad was not a great husband. He was very unkind, and I'll talk about that a little bit, to my mom. So my mom, there was a lot she didn't know that she could have done. But part of that also was me being mixed, which we like now. But back then in the 80s, it was not looked upon very good, mixed blood. And so my mom, knowing that I would have to go to a Korean school, she knew that it was better for me, for my future, that I would be with my dad, going to, the school on base, on the military base, and not getting bullied, because I was not pure. Well, I was pure, you know what I mean, my blood. So from 5 to 10, I lived with my dad, and sprinkle in a few stepmoms in there. My dad, he was an alcoholic, and because I saw daily what it did to my dad, I really had no, to this day, I just don't have a desire to follow that route. It never appealed to me, because I saw what it did to my dad. And so I had a stepmom, they divorced, I had a stepmom, and during those 5 years, my dad, there was no contact with my mom. I knew I had a mom, I was here, but I didn't really ever, there was nobody I could picture. I just knew when I'd get in trouble, I'd be sent to my room, I'd cry, I'd go, Mom. Nobody came to my mind. Maybe it was bad memory, I don't know what it was, but, so for those 5 years, nothing with my mom. And then, the story goes is that my stepmom at the time, she was going to leave my dad. My dad was abusive to his wife. My dad never, ever, ever laid a hand on me. God's grace, God's goodness, God's kindness to me. But I saw my dad choke, hit, punch my stepmom, both of them. And there's, you know, my first stepmom, I remember big fight, and my dad was leaning over into the fridge to grab a beer, and my stepsister at the time, I had a stepsister for a year. I call her my niece to be stepsister. She's in jail right now, by the way, just an FYI. So this is just story that I can share because of God. He had me in his hand the entire time. And I remember Angie, my stepsister, jumped on my dad's back because my dad had just been hitting her mom. And I don't know, my dad was able to show control with children. He didn't hit Angie, but I remember my stepmom grabbing Angie and me. We're going to go to Mamaw and Papaw's house. We're going to leave. But that's just, it was Alabama. It was, I don't know if anybody in here has family in Alabama, but it was just that part of Alabama. That was the culture of it. It was alcohol. So they divorced, and then I got my other stepmom, and she was going to leave him. And what ended up happening was she called my mom and my stepdad. My mom had remarried by that point. And, you know, I find out about all of this later, but they got married. He was a little bit older than my mom, and he had three children of his own. He wasn't able to have any more children, and so I guess when they got married, she was still young enough and to have children, but he couldn't have children. So he suggested, well, why don't we adopt? And she said, if I can't raise my own child, I don't want to raise somebody else's child. So at that point, they tried to fight for custody of me from Japan, but they didn't win. And then, I don't know how many years later, my stepmom calls my mom. I'm leaving Bob, and I'm worried about Becky. Because I was, again, alcohol controlled my dad's life. I was home alone by myself a lot. Home alone is kind of redundant. I was by myself a lot. Remember, my dad never hit me. My dad taught me amazing things. To this day, and I think Emma would know about from Kat, my dad would literally, he's a soldier, right? We put on a white glove. He would go through the house, white glove inspection. And that was my responsibility. I learned how to clean from my dad. So I'm grateful. I could look back on it and say, you know, my dad was a drunk and blah, 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 blah. But I'm grateful for the things that he instilled in my life. So my mom and stepdad hired a private investigator to follow my dad. And there was just, I guess, overwhelming amount of evidence just to say, you know, she's left home alone a lot. Alcohol is a big bad deal. I remember my dad was in the military. He was a retired soldier. So VFW, have you guys ever heard of the VFW? It's, I don't know. I think it's a bar for our veterans of foreign wars. Thank you. I was like, hey, no affairs. My dad would go. I'd sit in the parking lot in the truck while my dad would go and drink alcohol. I remember a conversation with my dad. We're driving away somewhere. The beer's in his, you know, in between his leg. He's drinking and driving. Legs, he had to. Drinking and driving was not it was just a norm. And I remember mustering up enough courage and saying, you know, Dad, should you be? Is it okay? Isn't it illegal to drink and drive? He came to a stoplight. He drank. He said, happy now? Not drinking and driving. It controlled him. It does to those who succumb, who allow it. So stay away. The other thing, it's thanks. This was probably in my little elementary mind. This was what steered me clear of alcohol in the beginning, was because my dad, with his smoking, drinking breath, if I had a smudge on my face or whatever, he'd lick his finger and he'd wipe that smudge off, and it just stunk to high heaven. I didn't like the smell. That was also one of those things that I just don't, I'm going to steer clear of the alcohol. So I do remember in my fourth grade class, I was pulled aside and I was questioned about home life and that kind of stuff by a social worker. And my teacher told me, don't worry. All the kids, you're going to get asked, don't worry. Everybody's going to get questioned. Well, what ended up happening was, again, like I said, they had enough evidence to take me out of my dad's home. So it was a husband-wife attorney that my mom and stepdad had hired. And I went to school one day, and I left with the attorney. There was just too much evidence to not let me go back to my dad's home. Ladies, I love my dad. He was a great dad. Terrible husband.
But I wasn't married to him.
I was his little girl. He was a great dad. So then during that time, my mom and my stepdad came, flew from Japan. And I will tell you, I didn't remember really what my mom looked like. But when I hugged her there in Dealeville, Alabama, in front of their hotel, I remember the smell of my mom. It was a certain smell, and it was my mom. My mom and stepdad got custody of me. I moved to Japan, and just little situations like my mom and my stepdad and me going into the house, you know, I really thought I was going to get in trouble for my dad. First, I didn't go home. I was taken out of the home. Then going back into my home to pack up stuff, I felt like I was betraying my dad. There was a whole lot of that. The snarky remarks that my dad would make about my stepdad. But I wanted to be with my mom, and the judge had asked me. He said, he had taken me into his office, and he said, you know, who do you want to live with? And I said, it was just at a time. I was 10. I was wanting my mom. And I said, I'd like to live with my mom. So I don't know if that was what sealed the deal or if he had already made the decision. So going into our whole home, white trailer trash. Yeah. I was picked up by the school bus, and I was very grateful I was the first kid on that bus because nobody had to see where I lived, and I was the last kid dropped off. Because we were four. We lived in a very, very dilapidated mobile home where I'm washing clothes, and there was a part I couldn't step in because I thought for sure I was going to fall through the floor. But we went into the house, to the home, and to pack up stuff. And I remember a pair of really pretty shoes that I wanted to take. And I was like, my dad got these for me. And I really want to make sure I take this. And my mom said, Becca, I got those for you. My mom had purchased them in Korea, sent them to me for Christmas or whatever it was. And my dad had given it to me in his name. And I remember looking at the bottom of the shoes made in Korea. Now that I learned more about my dad, I understand he didn't have a very easy life. Now, there were choices he made, conscientious choices, poor choices that he made, but he didn't have a great life. So, go live with my mom and my stepdad in Japan, and we went to the chapel there. My mom made sure that I was on base, the church there. My stepdad went with us for a year. Then we ended up, my dad got stationed in Mare Island, which is close to here. And so we moved to Napa. And I remember I was just about to start middle school and going to the Napa Valley. And I was petrified. I would know nobody, going to middle school, and I don't know how to be a valley girl. I remember just joking about the fact that I'm gonna go to Napa and I'm gonna be like totally like a valley girl. Nobody's like that here. Although a lot of people do say like. So my mom, being a church going lady, she opened up the phone book. Do y'all know what a phone book is? You do? Okay. All right. What part of the phone book is where businesses are? The white pages or the yellow pages?
The
white pages. The white pages is where residents are? Look at you guys. So wise. Yes. So my mom opened up the phone book, and she said, we're going to go church shopping. And we literally just started at the top. And we went one Sunday to this church, the next one on the list, we went to the next one. Well, H for Hopewell is not too far down the line. And we got here, came whatever Sunday, how many ever weeks it was later, we came here to Hopewell. The following Saturday, Pastor Ray came to our house, just over close to Vintage. Every time I'm in Napa, I've got to drive by my old house with my basketball hoop up there. I never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. I was a good kid, but I sinned. I knew I sinned daily, and I didn't know that I was on my way to hell. And Pastor Ray lived it all out for me, and it was in that living room that I got saved. The following Sunday, so like I said, within the next day, came here and got baptized. And my mom said, of the churches that we've been to, only one pastor has come to visit us. This is the church we're going to be in. And my mom made sure that this is where she and I were. Now, because my stepdad was unsaved, my mom had to use all the wisdom, try to make sure we were in church, but not go overboard so he doesn't, lay down the gauntlet. So we came Sundays for a while, and then slowly, I don't remember if it was Sunday mornings or Sunday night or Wednesday night that she added, but then she added one other service, and then before we know it, we're coming to all the services, and my mom made sure that I was at the teen activities. And I'll be honest with you, I remember a Sunday morning, my stepdad, I called him dad. He raised me like I was his own, and he was my dad. I remember him saying, Becky needs to study. My mom's Asian, don't forget. Asians and education is a big old deal. And so he said, Becky shouldn't be going to spend so much time in church. She needs to be studying. I'm like, yeah, I need to study. I don't have time for church. My mom said she can study after. She's going to go to church. I didn't want to come. But I am so glad. And I joke with my mom about it, that she, had to pull me by my hair. It wasn't that bad. But I obeyed my mom, and I am so grateful. I regret that I gave her a little bit of a hard time during those years where I was like, the same old, why are we going to church? Again, I didn't hang out with a bad kid at Vintage in my high school. But still, that's just the heart. So, we're here, and I'll be honest with y'all. Because I didn't go to the Christian school here at Hopewell, I didn't really fit in, per se, with our youth group kids, because the majority of them went to the Christian school. I now am like, that's cool. I got to be with everybody. I didn't have to be part of a clique. I really want to encourage you ladies. Go seek out the one who's by herself. You make that your mission. If each of y'all did that, imagine that. And all the love of that would be felt. If you go out and see, it's easier to be with a person that I know and that I'm comfortable with, and she knows me and I know her. But everybody wants to feel included. So you go and seek out somebody sitting by themselves. You go be that person to go sit with them. It's nobody's fault. I remember my mom telling me, you're going to have to be extra about going and talking to people, because if you're by yourself too much, people will think you're snooty. And so to combat that, you need to be the one to go put yourself out there. I don't like being up here and talking in front of people. Now, sitting beside you one-on-one, bring it on any day. I enjoy that. Lots of people, especially big people, can be a little kid anytime. But it scares me. But it's what we're supposed to do. Christ went to the multitudes. I promise you, he preferred to be on a mountaintop by himself. But he went out into the multitudes, and he's our example. So we were faithful here, but again, education was the big deal in our home. And the way that I can put it is that I kind of rode on my mom's coattail, if I may use that expression, in her relationship with Christ. I was saved, but I didn't have my own relationship with the Lord. My relationship was based upon my mom. I wrote on her coattails. And so when it's time to make the decision to go to college, Pastor Ray had said, I really encourage everybody, all of our team, to give that 13th year, go to Bible college. Well, call it haughtiness, pride. I don't know. I don't think I really had a prideful heart, but I wanted to go into medicine. And I thought, I'll be a pediatrician, and I'll go on medical missions trips. Check off both boxes, right? I can do what I would like to do, and Asian moms kind of like to say that their kids are doctors or dentists or lawyers, so I check off that box. Here's the problem, though. I never consulted the Lord. I never asked him what he wanted. It was a Becky plan. So I got into Cal Poly, and I was a biology major, went there for a year, and it was okay. I came home. for that summer, and I just wanted to be home. I'm an only child. My mom and dad, they're my best friends. I wanted to be home. So I broached the subject with my mom and my dad. I said, there's a community college here. Can I go to the community college for a couple of years? My Asian mom said yes. I was floored. Asians don't do community colleges. You go straight to a four-year college. And I got to be here, and Pastor Ray said, I want you plugged in. And he said, you're here, you're home, I want you to have a Sunday school class. 4, 5, 6-year-old little girls. Right next to the fireside room over there was my Sunday school classroom. And I did a junior choir, and I attempted the organ. But it was being the Sunday school teacher of those little girls. As I'm seeing you ladies look at me, as I'm standing Sunday after Sunday in front of these little girls, Veronica, Veronica? She was in my Sunday school class. Little Miss Veronica. That's how old I am. They did tell me last night I was part of the front row old. Did you guys hear that? She made that comment that I was part of the front row old. What I realize as I'm teaching these little girls is that they're looking to me to point them to Christ. When I didn't have my own walk with the Lord. I did not have my own relationship with the Lord. And I'm having these little humans look to me to point them to Christ. And it was then that I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I was saved. I was a good kid. But I did not have my own personal relationship with the Lord. And it was then that I began reading my Bible a little more. You know, I would start every January 1st. I promise, I did. And then it would peter away. Is that the English phrase? I don't know. I would, you know, you slack off on it. And then you determine the next time that you're going to. I made it for real. The faithfulness of it. And it was then that I realized I had the reins of my life. I had not given them over to the Lord. To direct, to guide me where he wanted me to go. And it was then that the Lord told me I need to go to Bible college. Well, I already had quite a few years of Cal Poly and then the junior college, but it was what I was supposed to do. And so I went to my mom and my dad, and my mom said, finish your bachelor's degree first, and then go to Bible college. I'm supposed to go now, Mom. My unsaved stepdad, he said, nope. If you go, there will be no financial help. Cut you off completely. Now, I could still live at home, but financially, I'm not helping at all. That's what I'm supposed to do. And so I enrolled, registered, whatever it is, to Golden State. I was only there 3 semesters because I had done a whole bunch already. During this time, in walks this handsome man to Hopeful Baptist Church. Pastor Ray had hired William. Let me check time real quick. Do you guys remember what time it was up there? It said this goes until 11:30. Okay. That's all that. William was on his way to China, but he wanted just some things that he needed to be here for. It was supposed to be just a year. And when Pastor Ray hired William, he told him, I'll give you a job, I'll give you a place to live and a wife. And I was the only single gal, so the rest was just free. He had no choice. He had to marry me. We got married, and ladies, I would have missed. He's pretty darn perfect. I know there's no perfect man, but 22 years later, I'm still madly in love with this man. We have. Hang on, I brought it for the other class. Okay, so here's William. Very handsome indeed. Everybody says he looks like Jim Carrey when he preaches, especially. Do you guys see it? No. Jim Carrey's ugly. Yeah, so don't look him up. Don't worry about it. He's ugly. So there's William, and then there's Josiah. Still eligible. Don't tell him I said that. Josiah's 20, and then Amelia's 18, and Hannah's 12, and Tabitha's 10. William came here. We, very long story short, got married. And then, 6 months pregnant, and let's see, July, 9 months into our marriage, we got on an airplane with 4 suitcases and flew to China to serve the Lord over there. We got to be there for 17 years. We came out of China pre-COVID with tickets to go back March 2020. Y'all all know what happened in March 2020. The world stopped, the world shut down. And for 2 years, we tried to get back into China. I mean, we left our apartment. We were going back. We didn't say goodbye. We just, we'll see you later. And, but the Lord had other plans. And so 2 years ago, after 2 years of trying to get back into China, we realized that for now, the Lord has closed that door. And 2 years ago, just in February, my husband started pastoring a church in Santa Rosa, California, where his dad was a pastor for many years. And what I do, we will open, well, you can open your Bible, or you can just, Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A man's heart devises his way. Ladies, God's created us to devise a way. You see the goal. What I encourage you, I beg of you to do, is to, before I did, hand over that, whether it's the yoke of an airplane, or the reins, the steering wheel, whatever symbolism you want to use. Hand it over to the Lord now. You don't need to kind of going around like this, wasting a little bit in that flight pattern and just wasting that time. Now, with Him, you're devising your way. It's not wrong to set the goals. It's not wrong to devise your way and to set that as the target. He created us that way. He says so here in Proverbs. A man's heart devises his way. But the Lord directs our steps. That's our way. Do that. Set the goals. Talking to your pastor, talking to your parents, talking to the Lord, saying, Lord, for the seniors in here, for those of you that are still in junior high or in high school, you kind of know what your steps are. But for the ones that are embarking out, Lord, is that the way? Is that the way that you would have? Mom and Dad, what do you think? What do you think about that way? Pastor, what do you think? What do you think should be my way? And you're talking to the Lord. If you don't have that relationship with the Lord, start it now. Okay? January 1st is past. It's okay. February 23rd. I don't know. My way fell down. Oh dear. You guys can start. Well, it's not the morning. I can't do my devotions. I have to wait until tomorrow. No. Find a time pretty pronto. Do it today. Check mark that off today. Where you're reading, and it's reading His Word. You guys are here right now, so you're doing that. It's having your own walk with the Lord. Having that time of prayer, where you are, I don't know who was here last night, but Mrs. Walker talked about that AOG, the awareness of God. Having that, and it's going to be because you're thirsting and hungering after righteousness, God's Word. Mm-hmm. So that's the way. So then what does it say after that punctuation? Man's heart divided this way. What did it say at the rest of Proverbs 9? 16:9. But the Lord directs your steps. So that's my course. That's where I'm going. But the Lord says, here's the next step. He shines a flashlight on your very next step. This is the step I want you to take. And you think, well, that's the end goal. So obviously it's going to be, the next step is going to be straight ahead. Sometimes those steps take you. Wait, hang on. That's the way. Lord, I think that's the way that you want me to go, right? Okay, well, right now, okay, I'm going to go here. And then the next step, we're still getting further away. And perhaps this isn't the end way. In our minds, in man's mind, we think that's the way. But you're following each step that he leads. Ladies, I will tell you, did I ever, 17 years of our life was in China. We had all 4 of our babies there. I won't get emotional. It's been a while since I've cried about China. China,
was our way. We're going to die there. That was home for us. My two big kids actually are going back to Chengdu in to Chengdu is the city that they lived in for the last 10 years. They're going back in June because they said we want to go home. They got tourist visas to go back in. It's home.
So we just assumed these would be our steps. This is what God ordained.
We thought these would be our steps.
She said, No, trust me. I got you in my hands. I promise I got you. Okay, well, Santa Rosa? Trying it that way. Okay, Santa Rosa. And do I know if we're going to end up back here permanently? I don't know. But I can tell you this. I'm so glad that Seth has led to Santa Rosa. He has it perfectly planned. He wants you to be happy. And that happiness is going to be coming from saying, here are my reins. Lord, whatever the steps are that you would have, I'm going to follow those. And we don't do the things that Christians do. We don't follow the steps that the Lord prepares. We don't devise our way for the things that come about it. But I cannot emphasize to you enough the amazing goodies that come along with following each of his steps. I know I can't say every wife is biased because not every wife is biased. William is amazing. I'm so glad that my steps. What if I had ended up at Cal Poly forever? I would have missed the step of William and these four little humans. I have 6'5". He's not so little anymore. Yeah, 6'5". He's ginormous. Gives me neck problems. I thought about just kind of going through the goodies that he said, okay, you continue to follow my steps. These are the goodies. We would be here all day if I went through all the goodies that he has showered us with. We have been all over the world, literally. We got to live in China. How cool is that? We got to live in a city for the last 10 years of 15 million people. We fly on airplanes. Emma, wasn't last year was your first time on an airplane?
Yeah.
First time at 17 years old, right? Do you know Josiah was 3 months old when he went on an airplane? And he's been on countless airplanes since? Amelia, she got to go to Korea for a few weeks. She's going to go to the Congo. These are just like little... Okay, they're big cherries on top. Because... Yes, there. Following the steps. We don't do them for the goodies. But he loves us. We're his children. And he's like, okay, there you are. Here's that goodie. There's an extra dose of goodies. The hardships are going to be there. But let me tell you something. They're there for the unsafe. They're there for the safe. Everybody has them. Mrs. Walker and Mrs. Hamilton were talking about suicide. Ladies, suicide impacts this unsafe as well. More so. The heartache of losing a child. It affects the unsafe as well. But when you are following the steps of the Lord, those heartaches, like Mrs. Hamilton said, you can have joy through it all. And that's the only way that you'll have joy through it all. And the goodies that will be heaped upon heap towards you. Now, hand over the reins, the yoke, the steering wheel to him. Let him let you, with his guidance, plan the way. But then let each step be directed by him. Let's pray. Jesus, I ask you, please be with Mrs. Cavett in the next section. Please open up our hearts to what you would have for us. I ask, Father, that you would please help each of us in here. It's not a one-time, one-and-done where we hand over the reins to you and say, Lord, you take control. It's daily. I ask that you would please help those of us who have, in the whole scheme of our life, we've handed over the reins to you to continue daily to do that. But, Lord, if there's anybody in here who doesn't have their own personal relationship with you, I ask, Father, that they would begin that. And if they don't know how, they would seek out how to do that. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. In your name we pray. Amen.